If you will spare a glance at your clock at this time, you'll be sure to notice that it is, in fact, 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. Always, always. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of this very Dubious Goals Committee. And I got some tea. Oh. That's good. Oh, that is good stuff. It's a little hot, but man, it's good. That is a very fresh cup of tea. Very excited about it. Very delicious. Oh, yeah. So what are we doing? What are we doing today on this lovely Tuesday? Well, not much. I'm just sitting here. It's kind of cold. How cold is it? I do not know. Let's go to the Weather Channel and see what they have to say. 18 degrees. 18 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, isn't that just lovely? Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, good tea. Oh, yummy. Ooh, hot, 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 hot. Hot, but delicious. Okay. Also on the Weather Channel, apparently they're trying to tell me that more snow is coming. I'm not really paying any attention. I don't care. Bring me the snow. Apparently we're going to have a wintry mix. Not just snow. A wintry mix. Wintry mix. It sounds like a flavor of Chex Mix or Gardetto's or something like that. The wintry mix or Brock's seasonal candy. You know, you have the bridge mix, right? Oh, here's a bag of wintry mix. That's what I think of. So the good news is I'm doing pretty good today. Neither of my shoulders are really screaming out. You know, I've got some deep ache in there. There's some pain, but God, feeling pretty good today. Probably because I had a good night last night. What did I do last night? Well, regular listeners to this show will remember yesterday's episode in which I said, hey, I get to go out to eat tonight with my dad. And where did we go? Did we decide to go to the Greek restaurant? Nope. Did we decide to go to the Mexican food and pizza restaurant? No. But we did have pizza. Where did we go? We went to Frank's. Oh my God. We haven't been to Frank's in forever. So we went to Frank's Pizza, the best pizza in town. Best pizza in town. We got ourselves a big pizza. We slaughtered that thing. It's so freaking good. We just plowed through it. Only one piece left over. It's in a little box in my refrigerator right now. Am I going to eat that today? Oh, I want to, but I probably shouldn't. Given the opportunity, I should never eat the same thing twice in a row and no, you know, the next day or something like that. Plus it's pizza, which is a lot of stuff I shouldn't be eating, but I do have pills to take care of it, but blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Maybe I will eat it today. La, 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 la. Maybe I won't. So I had yummy pizza. And then I came home and I watched a little bit of anime, and then I watched cricket. I watched live cricket. I watched ODI cricket. One day international cricket, 50 over cricket, England versus Windies. And you know, this is a game that takes all day. And this started fairly late at night. When did I start watching that? I don't know. 2 a.m.? Yeah, so some god-awful hour. You know, Tobe time. And I watched that until I fell asleep. And I left it on. And it was still on when I woke up about, 4 hours later. And then I went back to sleep. And I went back to sleep, and that's when I had a dream. I had this dream, or technically it might have been a nightmare. I had this nightmare, and it went on forever. It was a really long dream. And basically what had happened was my skateboard got stolen. And I was not feeling good in my dream. My skateboard was stolen, and I was pissed off. I was angry, and I felt terrible. Lots of bad emotional things going on in my brain. And in my dream, I set out to find it, and I did. Except, when I found it, it was just the deck. If you don't know skateboard terminology, the deck is the board of the skateboard. Not the trucks, not the wheels, just the wooden board bit. So I found the deck, but somebody had repainted it and reshaped it. Somebody took a router to the edges and tried to change the profile of it and paint it so it, you know, would not be recognizable. But it was clearly recognizable to me because, one, I could see the old Alva logo through the paint. Had the same grip tape job on it. Various other identifying marks. Somebody tried to repaint it. And they repainted it by hand as if it was one of their own skateboards. Like some kid was trying to start their own skateboard company by stealing skateboards, repainting them as his brand. What was the brand in my dream? Like Justin Hill or something like that? It was crappy. It was a very bad job. But I discovered that, yes, this is in fact my skateboard, or at least parts of it. So I went to find the guy, the kid, who, you know, painted it, this Justin Hill kid. And I eventually find this kid, and I came down heavy on him. Who stole my skateboard? Where did you get this? Where are my trucks? Where are my wheels? Because I have a very specific set of trucks on my skateboard. And in case you're wondering, if you are a skater, independent 151s. Yeah, you heard me. 151s, original, classic 151s. Oh my God, that's so rare. That was rare even, but yeah, you better freaking believe it. And I got a set of green slime balls for wheels on it right now. Yeah. So then I set out to find the person who actually did the stealing. You know, so I could give him an abject lesson in property rights. Oh, good tea. But the bad news is, in my dream, I didn't find the guy before I woke up. So I did manage to recover my deck, a classic, classic Alva. But I was still looking for the guy who actually stole it and my trucks and wheels. Oh, and I was ready to crack some skulls open. Oh my God. Yeah, so then I woke up. I was out searching, I was on my way. I don't know, remember exactly what went down, but suddenly I wake up. Here I am. Yeah, I woke up, I looked at the TV, and there was a cricket game on. And I was like, wait, that can't be right. That game should have ended around, you know, a couple hours ago. But no, apparently the TV found another game for me to watch. And it was another ODI, England versus somebody, but from like 2007. So like a 12-year-old cricket game I turned that off immediately. Then I got up, and what was the first thing I did? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Tobe, it's you. You're Tobe. The first thing you do when you wake up is you go make more tea. Well, yeah, normally that is true. But this morning, the first thing I did on the way to making tea is I went into my office / studio, the other room in my house, to make sure my skateboard was still there. And yes, there it was, leaning up against the wall, where it always is. It has not been stolen in reality. I'm greatly relieved. All that anxiety sort of washed out of my body. So greatly relieved. Then I went upstairs and made some tea. Then I put some waffles in the toaster, and I ate some waffles and drank some tea. Because that's what I do. And the whole time I was eating my waffles, all I could think about was skateboarding. Who wants to go skateboarding? Tobe does. It's a good thing it's all snowy and wintry mix out there and all whatever. And now they're telling me we're in a winter storm warning. Yep, here we go. Winter storm warning from 6 p.m. tonight until 9 a.m. tomorrow. Okay, it hasn't even started yet, the warning? We're 6 hours from the warning. Apparently this was the warning, or the pre-warning. I'm not entirely sure. Regardless, now I feel like skateboarding. Will I have to go out and do some skateboarding this spring? Yeah, I might just have to do that. I have my own secret private spot over in Irvington, tucked in behind the branch of the community college. There's a funny branch of our community college. The big community college in Omaha is Metro Community College. And they have locations all over the place, including one in Irvington, which is where you can learn to be an electrical lineman, among other things. But they have this behind the campus up on the hill. They have all these, you know, power line poles that aren't actually hooked up to the grid. And this is where they train how to put this stuff up and stuff. And anyway, my little secret skateboarding spot is between the campus and that little lineman training area and some houses in the little neighborhood back there. There's this little drainage ditch that sort of bends around. It's about 200 meters long. And it's shallow. It's really nice. And it's just fun as hell. But anyway, well, I'm not going skateboarding today. But I am drinking tea. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. And I think this has something to do with the water temperature, too. Because today when I made the tea, even though I haven't been doing this scientifically, the last few times I've been making tea, I haven't been boiling the water to full crazy boil. I wait until there's, about half a dozen nucleation sites on the pan that are producing like BB size bubbles that are about 3 millimeters in diameter. And as soon as I see that, as soon as I see like the sixth nucleation point start bubbling, boom, I kill the heat. Then I pour the water, put in the tea bag, you know, wait 10 minutes. And I think we've discovered something. I think, makes for really good tea. Yeah, let's have some more of that tea. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Good tea. I wish I could capture this flavor and put it in, you know, like candy. You know how much I love candy. I eat candy every day. Lifestyle, son. Lifestyle. I usually have at least one piece of candy a day, usually at night, shortly before I go to bed. And I usually have a piece of candy after I eat lunch. I eat my weird sour guava candy after lunch. I have one piece of that. And then at night before I go to bed, I have a haichu. Because candy rules. Regular listeners to this show who have heard this show in the springtime in North America, you know I'm always at Harrenhaven and I'm walking by those bushes and I always say, oh, it smells like candy. I wish I could make candy out of these flowers. And I wish I could. That's one of the candy flavors I wish I could achieve. I wish I had a multinational candy operation. I wish I could have my own candy company and factory and everything. I've always wanted that. I've been making candy since I was a pretty young child. And I love it. Sugar rules. Sugar is our friend. Candy, candy, candy. So yeah, if I could, you know, I would be way cooler than Willy Wonka. Way cooler. Tobe candy. Oh, it would be so delicious. I can think of the flavor ranges right now. Yeah, I should start a candy company. So I could have that flower candy. So I could have some other different kinds of candy. Including the toffee that my great-grandmother makes. And I have the recipe for that. And I make that too. And I put salt in it. Yummy, yummy. And I would also make this tea candy. I would turn this exact flavor into candy. But the thing is, to get this flavor profile just right, it has to be hot. Yummy, yummy. That's the thing. So, how hot is this water right now? How hot is this tea right now? I'd have to guess. 75, 80 degrees Celsius? I don't know. I would want a candy this flavor, but when you put it in your mouth, it would have to sort of automatically heat up to about 100 and whatever degrees. I don't know how to do that. We would need an exothermic reaction. Huh. I'll have to work on that. But yeah. Candy flavors. Those crazy flowers at Harrenhaven. My tea. What else was I thinking about crazy candy flavors the other day? Something that I don't know. Candy. I love it. It does play a role in my life, and it has throughout history. For example, back when I was a child. that's not even a good way to start this. Because I was going to say, back when I was a child, I had this friend named Booper. But I still have this friend named Booper. And it's the same guy. Yes. I've known my friend for more than multiple decades. It's a long time. So anyway. Yes, this is going to be a Booper story. This is a legendary Booper story. Regular listeners to the Dubious Goals Committee will know of my friend, my legendary, living legend friend, Booper. This is a story about him. Like always. And this is back in 19... you know, a while ago. So about a week or so before we entered junior high school, meaning middle school, meaning 7th grade... we were hanging out, and I don't remember what we were doing or anything, but he turns to me and he says, we were talking about school, getting ready to go to school, and we were excited about it because, well, it's a new school, which means new girls, and, well, you know, that's about all we cared about. And he says, I'm going to start a candy store at school this year. I'm like, okay. I didn't question it, and I had no problem with it. I knew exactly what he was talking about. because, well, that's a long story in itself, but there's a particular book in a series of books that we both ended up reading at one point, in which the protagonist in one of the books goes off to middle school or junior high school or seventh grade, and he starts a candy store. It's boarding school, but anyway, Booper decides to start a candy store, which I thought it was a weird way to put it, because what he was really doing was bootlegging. Bootlegging candy. He was an illegal candy dealer. The dealers! Right. Right. This is an absolutely true story. Well, I don't know where you're from, but where I live, having candy or gum in school is strictly prohibited. It is contraband. Cannot have it in there no matter what. Did that prevent anybody from taking candy or gum to school? No. That's not how you prevent anything from happening. You don't make rules for prevention. Oh, this is good tea. Oh, yeah. So Booper decides he's going to be the bootlegging candy smuggler during this sugar prohibition at our junior high school. And we spent that sort of few days before junior high started sort of stocking up on candy. You know, we're not rich kids. Had no income, but, you know, technically we had no income. You know, obviously here we are, scheming how to make more money while we're underage. If you are unaware, children under the age of 14 cannot work in America. And you might think, oh, I thought it was 16. Well, when you live in Nebraska, it's 14. Because you can get a job at 14, but it can only be in certain things. And it can only be for a couple of hours a day at most. You can't work more than about 20 hours. I forget exactly what the rule is, but here we are underage. We can't get jobs, but, you know, we're still scheming to make money. You know, so me and Booper, we did everything together at that age. Pretty much every waking moment of the day, we were doing stuff. And so he eventually accumulated a small stockpile of candy over the week before school started. And he smuggled the candy into school. It wasn't too difficult. And he basically set up shop. Put his candy in his locker and start spreading the word around that he's got candy. It is for sale at premium prices. And we're off, right? So at the end of the day, of that first day, I was asking him, so how much candy did you sell? He's like, well, not a lot. He still had all the candy bars. He had purchased, you know, like 5 or 6 candy bars and like a pack of gum. And what he learned on that day was that people weren't interested in paying premium prices for candy bars. This was back when you could buy a candy bar or a pack of gum for 25 cents for a quarter. And I think he was trying to sell them for 50 cents, if memory serves. And that didn't fly. But what did fly was the gum. He bought one pack of gum, and he sold all of the pieces off individually at, you know, highly inflated prices. He was selling pieces of gum for a quarter when you could buy, you know, a whole pack of gum for a quarter at the store. But no. So he paid off his gum on the first sale, and then proceeded to sell all the rest of the gum. Yeah, okay, what did we learn? What we learned was that Booper's key demographic for his candy smuggling, bootlegging operation was girls. Okay, because they wanted gum. And I don't know if this is true for where you live or the times you live in today, but geez, back then, girls of that age in our neighborhood were just junkies for chewing gum. They were always chewing it. They always wanted it. They were always asking each other, "Do you have any gum?" That was a phrase we heard 3 or 4 times a day. Just girls asking each other, "Do you have any gum?" Right? So what did we do? We took the long way home. It actually really wasn't the long way. We took a slight detour on the way home from school to go to the grocery store. And Booper took all the money he made that day and bought more gum. He bought, you know, like 7 or 8 packs of gum. And he had all these candy bars left over. So we walked home from school with all the new gum, had a couple of candy bars that were part of his inventory that didn't sell. And we went to school the next day with, you know, a few packs of gum. At the end of that day, I swear to God, he must have made about $5 selling gum at 25 cents a piece. Oh, he just cleaned up. And I thought, oh my God, this is ridiculous. And he also did some market research. He's like, he asked all the girls what kind of gum they wanted. And I think they all wanted either Juicy Fruit and or Double Mint. So, my God, after school, we go back to the store, buy one of those 12 packs of gums. How much were those back then? I think they were like $2, like a, you know, like $1.75 or $1.99. You got like 12 packs of gum. Oh, my God. I don't know how much money Booper made in that first week of school selling gum to girls. But if I had to guess, that was probably around $25. $20 to $25 would be my educated guess. And this is at a time when the minimum wage was less than $3 an hour, just to give you kind of a sense of the value of that. Oh, the gum store. But something did happen. I don't remember exactly what happened, but somehow teachers, administration found out that there was way too much gum in the school. Every single girl had gum and was chewing gum during class, and there was a big crackdown on gum, and girls were being made to stay after school and be punished, and they were all upset. Man, I have a feeling that the administration did know where the gum, the gum running scheme was being operated, but we never got it into any trouble because we always got off scot-free. Who are we, you ask? Well, we are the Dubious Goals Committee, getting off scot-free since 1930 UTC every single day right here on Anon Radio. My name's Tobe. I'm going to bail. I got stuff to do. So, you know, bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.